As we turn to God's Word, let us pray for illumination. Holy God, Scripture tells us that Your Word is written on our hearts, but we struggle to hear it. Is it possible that we have covered up Your words with our own narratives? It is possible, is it possible that we have erased Your truth to write our own? It is possible. Is it possible that we have forgotten Your words entirely? Take us back to the beginning. Remove the self-talk that distracts. Clear away the cobwebs of doubt. Show us how to look inside ourselves for Your truth, and then write on our hearts once more. We are listening. We are hopeful. We are here. Speak now. Our Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34. Listen for God's Word. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their husband, declares the Lord. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put My instructions within them and engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be My people. They will no longer need to teach others to say, "Know the Lord," because they will all know Me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin. Our epistle is from Hebrews, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse. In the same way, Christ also didn't promote Himself to become high priest. Instead, it was the One who said to Him, "You are My Son. Today I have become Your Father." As He also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." During His days on earth, Christ offered prayers and requests with loud cries and tears as His sacrifices to the One who was able to save Him from death. He was heard because of His godly devotion. Although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. After He had been made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys Him. He was appointed by God to be a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our gospel from John, the 12th chapter. Listen for God's word. Some Greeks were among those who had come up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and he made a request. They made a request, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And Jesus replied, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. Whoever serves me must follow me. Wherever I am, there my servant will be also. My Father will honor whoever serves me. Now I'm deeply troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this time? No, for this is the reason I have come to this time. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard and said, "Oh, it's thunder." Others said, "An angel spoke to him." And Jesus replied, "This voice wasn't for my benefit, but for yours. Now is the time for judgment in the world. For this world's ruler will be thrown out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." He said this to show how he was going to die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It was almost over. It had begun in Galilee and was going to end in Jerusalem. Jesus recognized it was soon to be. Jesus firmly set his face toward what he knew was to come and focused on achieving what Yahweh God was calling him to do. Jesus was obedient to that call and to his Father. Passover was coming, and thus Jesus and all good Jews were going up to Jerusalem, always up to Jerusalem for the feast, the Passover feast. The journey, which today with modern transportation would take, maybe an hour and a half, would have taken them almost 3 days. The gospel today takes place after the parade from the Mount of Olives. It is now the last week before Passover. All along the way, the gospels give us stories of Jesus' teachings, his exorcisms, his healings, and his grace. From these accounts, we're able to understand a little more about Jesus, his humanness, and his divineness. Friends, we're in the season of Lent, and our journey is about 80% done. During this time, we are headed with Jesus up to our Jerusalem. The three Bible references this morning are seemingly different, and yet there is one common theme that goes through all of them. Each of the texts have something to say to us on their own, separate from the common thread, and I'd like to take a moment to look at each and then try to pull them together. The Jeremiah passage is a comfort passage in the midst of all the gloom and despair which Jeremiah is so prone to have throughout his scriptures. And he was saying these comfort passages for the exiled Israelites. It's a passage which is also intended for us today. God is proclaiming a new, rather, an explained covenant, where the law, the old covenant, was written in stone and subjected to a number of interpretations. The new covenant, while not changing what God wanted for us, was to be written on our hearts, and it was to be for all people. This was to be a covenant of grace in which forgiveness of sin would reign. This was the revelation of the covenant of relationship. This was where humankind and God were able to communicate together. The Hebrews passage is a marvelous and very deep passage that gives Jesus the same honor in his humanity as Melchizedek, the high priest. Hebrews mentions Melchizedek several times, which gives thought that there was a heritage passed down through Judaism about this person. And yet, there are only two Old Testament references to Melchizedek. One was in Genesis 14, where Abram, later Abraham, encounters him after Abram had won a battle in the Jordan Valley. Melchizedek was the king and high priest of Salem. Shalom. Peace. Was it an actual place or a spiritual place? No one knows for sure. The other reference to Melchizedek is in Psalm 110, which talks about the person who is to come and to be in the order of Melchizedek. Interestingly, this psalm was used by Jesus in combating Satan in the wilderness when answering a temptation. Jesus repeats what David said. The Lord said to my Lord, meaning that God is a person on earth who would be the representation of humankind as a priest. As a person to be the intervener between God and humanity. As a person who would offer the ultimate sacrifices for the remission of sin. If you reread this portion of Hebrews, you will see how Jesus took upon himself the burden of all of our sin. Yet he did it willingly, in obedience, out of God's perfect love. And finally, in the gospel this morning, there are several interesting points. First, the fact that these Greek believers wanted to see Jesus. How often have we had that same thought? What were some of the times you felt you needed an extra special visitation from God, where you could actually see Jesus? Another idea is the fact that Jesus is saying, when I am lifted up, I will draw all unto me. In light of what we talked about last week, with the bronze serpent in the desert for the Israelites, and the fact that Jesus was to be raised up for the people to look upon. Here, Jesus reiterates the lifting. And when we take our eyes off of ourselves and look up to Jesus, we will be made whole. Interesting verses in their own right. Now, what do all these passages have in common? What I see is that each of them shows that what God wants from us is obedience. This is not an obedience like a trained soldier who mindlessly responds to the spoken commands of the leader. No, it's more like a puppy dog, willingly doing the things in loving response to the master's bidding. This is an obedience that allows us to question back to God, as we all do, you know, why? What will be the outcome? And yet, it is an obedience that when we are convinced that it is God's will, we are to do it happily and willingly. Sometimes obedience to God doesn't make sense. I mean, why have I spent some 12 years out of the last 15 years traveling each week to different churches throughout West Virginia? First I went to Oak Hill, then to Pocahontas County, and even later to Logan. And now here. For some folks, it doesn't make sense for me to spend time coming here each week. After all, I know that it surprises you that I'm at retirement age, but I have been at retirement age for most all of those 12 to 15 years. So, why not, shouldn't I be spending time at the golf course or on the beach or out on a cruise? Well, why? Why have Ken and Mary and Dee Dee and the Hamiltons spent hours working on the building or covering the office or working on the food program? I think I can speak for all of us in saying that we do it in response, in obedience to God. Friends, what is done out of dedication to God for His church. None of these activities make sense to someone who has not found themselves ready to be obedient to our Lord. This is an obedience that is made because there is a desire to be in God's will. Taking time to hear what God wants us to be doing. This is in obedience that comes from love of the one who was obedient. You know him as Jesus. And you know what? It's all worth it. God sees our hearts where God's law is written. God sees our desire to be and do what God wants us to be and do. God sees our love and answers these efforts with His love back to us. In God's steadfast love, we are made whole again and again. We are made righteous again and again. We are forgiven. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come into Your presence with open hearts and minds, asking for You to fill us with Your instructions. Fill us with Your love, that we might be obedient. Give us guidance, that we may live to glorify You, and that You will be honored. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.